the podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. Thank you for spending part of your Friday with us. We very much appreciate it. We look forward to spending the next 3.5 hours with you here on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your comments, your questions, predictions, dinner plans, weekend expectations, all those things on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. You can also access that through the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. And, of course, all guests on this fine program and on every program here on Double T 97.3 appear via the Benchmark Hotline. Thanks to Clint for bringing us some root beer on this fine Friday.
Mm. I was able to snag the last 3 Barks root beer that the gas station I went to had in their building.
And it's the one just right up there, right?
Yeah.
Or right up there.
Yes, because I had the decision to make. Do I get the 2-liter, the large Farva of A&W?
Yeah. 2 Farvas.
Or do I get the one that I really wanted? And I was glad we found the 3rd one. Otherwise, someone would have been an oddball and wouldn't be able to enjoy some Barks
root beer. I do like a good root beer. It certainly qualifies. Because I usually go to that convenience store probably 3 or 4 times a week before the show. Buy a lottery ticket, buy a cold water, whatever.
So this is 4th and Q, right?
This is Marsha Sharp and Q.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. All right. I'm an old guy here, still calling it 4th Street.
And
here in a minute, I'll call it Brownfield Highway if you'd like. I call them the free. If you want to throwback or flashback Friday or however you want to work.
I used to take that to work when I was at Tech.
Freeway, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it was still the quickest way to go, but it wasn't
much to look at.
Not like it is now.
They've got a new sign, and I'd love to know the backstory, but I felt kind of awkward asking the attendant. But like, hey, now if you go in there, if you have a large backpack or a large purse, you have to leave it at the desk. So it seems as if they've had some shoplifting problems.
Yeah, probably.
In the 3 days that I've been gone. Some thoughts already rolling in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Folks letting us know what they're doing this weekend. Someone says, I'm going to a wedding reception right after all day at 2-a-days, ... So fun, angry emoji. Ooh, boy.
I'd rather go to the reception than the service, though.
Yeah, I was going to say that not all wedding receptions are bad. I mean, like, some of them are... That's high energy.
Sure.
Tell me about the bar. I'm not even as concerned about the meal. Meal's fine, whatever. Thanks for feeding me.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me about the bar situation. Tell me about our DJ or our band.
Because the bar can make you enjoy a lot.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly where I'm going.
My wife always gets very frustrated because I'll go anywhere. Right? I might not be like...
You may just be antisocial.
I might not be thrilled about it, but I'll like go somewhere and put on a happy face, etc. But I want to know when we're leaving.
Oh, you want to like preset?
Like ahead of time, I want to know, hey, we're out of here no later than 11 or whatever. If you give me an end time, that's reasonable, not like 8 hours. If you give me a reasonable end time, I'll do anything.
Oh, all right.
Wedding reception, funeral, kid's birthday party, anything. July 4th celebration.
That is the AD strategy. Always have an exit plan, boys.
That's good, yeah.
Well, this work thing that I was at, missed the last 3 shows. I was in Los Angeles. We'll get to that later. And that's not really a situation where I can employ my preferred exit tactic. I can't really Irish goodbye like the GM of Yahoo Sports and my direct superior as well. So I had to do the whole hey, great to see you. Da-da-da.
Sure. Especially
as it was good to see everybody. Sure. I'm not fibbing about that. It's just normally I just like to pull the ripcord and just
sneak out.
Yeah, get out of there.
I got a buddy, Pat. I'll just leave it at Pat. He does that. Like, we'll be at a deal. And Pat's like a notoriously get one of these get up at 4:30 guys, but he'll go to bed at 9.
Mm.
And you'd be over there on a Saturday night, you know, go there for dinner and drinks, whatever. About 9:45, like, where's Pat? Like, he just, like, he walked out of the room like you're going, oh, he's going to get a refill. He's going to the restroom or whatever. You can go over there and peek in the bedroom. He's gone. Like, he just does the deal. Like, man, that's just how we're, like, you got to get laser focused on him after about 9:30. Like, I'm keeping an eye on you. You leave the room, because he's not going to go, hey, y'all, I'm going to bed. It's night. It's just like, just what you said. You call it an Irish goodbye.
Irish goodbye.
His would be more of an Irish goodnight.
Yeah.
But yeah. Why's it got to be Irish? What is that?
I don't know. Our friend that's going to the reception checks back in. No drinks.
Oh,
that's rough. Can you bring your own?
Can you sneak some in?
Yeah. This on the EH Flooring Center chat line. Somebody says they just lit the fire in the outdoor pizza oven for dinner tonight. Ooh, that's
yep.
What kind of toppings are we rocking with tonight?
Toppings. Yep.
Somebody says the furs over there on the Brownfield Highway was the best.
The furs. Oh, okay. You know, we had the first pie kitchen over there at like 19th and Memphis, kind of just that's always been kind of a weird intersection over there. But yeah, the first pie kitchen. But yeah, he's thinking of the furs.
Okay. This root beer really hits good.
I know. I'll be top notch here.
Yeah. This in the chat line. AD, could you now handle a live concert? I mean, I can handle it. It's not what I wanted to go do. But again, if you give me an end time, and most, you're not going to be able to do that, right? But if you give me a set end time to where I know I just have to kind of make it to this point, I can handle it.
Is there a concert that you, and Clint, you can answer this too, that, and this could be a running topic if we want to, I don't care, a concert that you would like to see that may be a little off the grid? In other words, not just George Strait or Journey or whatever, and I heard good things about the Journey concert the other day, but is there one, like, for me, the one that's off the grid that you guys will go, did that 55-year-old guy just say that? Like, I want to go see, I don't even know what to call this, but I would like to go see a Skrillex-type concert. You know, like I guess you'd call that
EDM,
like DJ, yeah, EDM, like, I mean, at one time. Now, I may leave there and need a, you know, I don't know what I may need. Advil, Geritol, I don't know what at my age what that would be like, but I've seen those on YouTube, and I think they just, to use your word, I think they slap.
Okay.
And so they don't have those in Lubbock. You know, that's not, the ones I've seen are like in Wembley Stadium, you know, like.
I think you might need like 4 letters to really enjoy that to the max.
Oh, I don't know.
MDMA. I was just kidding. Molly.
I thought you were going.
I'm kidding. Don't use drugs.
I thought you were going to go 3 letters.
I was doing the 3 letters. I was doing the 3.
That's more like a fish concert.
Wait, that's THC.
Oh, I was thinking LSD. I thought y'all were.
I went LSD too.
XTC. We can tell what kind of hardcore rockers we are. We can't even communicate.
We're just all too high, man.
Pizza friend says, margarita, ham and hatch chili, pepperoni, and jalapeno, and Mike's hot honey. So it seems like four pies tonight.
We'll be
over there around 6:45.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure you make enough for the 3 of us.
Podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey, it's the juice on Double T 97.3, DoubleT973.com, and the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank with Mike Gustafson. And Clint Scott, I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. You can also access that through the DoubleT973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. Time For some headlines, the Texas Rangers beat the Chicago White Sox last night 3-2, snapping a three-game losing streak. Rangers now 47-58 on the season. They're 21 games back of the first-place Houston Astros. They'll be back in action tonight against the White Sox. First pitch from Globe Life Field, 7:05. Our pregame coverage starts for you at 6:30 here on Double T 97.3.
Yeah, two good debuts last night for the Rangers. Two back-to-back, I think, first-round picks there. Bubba Thompson played left field, and Reagan's, the big left-hander, got the start. So, nice little thing to sprinkle in there with Josh Young starting to gear back up. And again, no anticipation of Josh being part of the picture this year, the big league picture. But good to see some of those prospects getting to the top. At one of the Hoops games last winter, Bubba Thompson was sitting up there with the Young brothers. Like, he came to Lubbock and went to one of the Hoops games, and, you know, and I was like, and Josh or somebody said hi to him, like, hey, meet Bubba Thompson. Like, well, yeah, I've read about you.
To run into you at a Hoops game.
Yeah, right. Not
how about this? Rangers became the first team since 1986 to have two of their first-round picks make their big league debuts as starters in the same game.
Yeah, and the date in 1986, it involved Will Clark, but it was also opening day. Mm. And so that's probably a little bit easier to come to that going, all right, you guys are, you know, but for them to do that thing in August at a point that they're at right now, you know, struggling to get some youth infused into this, get these guys' feet wet. You know, these are both 24-year-olds that have had good years in AAA. So, again, I wish Josh was right there with him. Not going to happen right now, but hopefully this time next year all these young guys are in the mix.
That's what I really like about baseball, too, is that there's so much data that goes back so far that you can come up with these relatively obscure, like, hey, first time that two former first-round pick, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's really, really cool. What's not cool is hitting a bunch of dingers and losing, and that's exactly what the Angels did last night. They tied a dubious major league record when they hit 7 home runs, all solo shots, but still lost to the Oakland A's 8-7. They're just the second team ever in the history of Major League Baseball to hit 7 solo homers and lose. They're also the first team in the majors to hit 7 solo home runs and score no other runs in a game.
Yeah, and there was something else to that. Maybe teams that have hit 6 home runs in a game are like 106-6.
Oh, my gosh. So
there was something along those lines. It just defied everything, and it was exactly what you've talked about many times with this Angels team.
You, too, can join the program. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com or through the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. You know, you and I were talking before the show about, you know, hey, how the last few days have went, how was my trip to Los Angeles, et cetera. And one of the things that happened while I was there was the passing of Vin Scully. And I don't know exactly when that, like, hit the wire.
I think it was super late Monday night because I woke up to it on Tuesday.
I think Tuesday night.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Late Tuesday. Yeah, because I think it may have been part of the West Coast broadcasts. But when I was reading about it on Wednesday or hearing about it on Wednesday morning, they were like, most of you people on the East Coast might have already been in bed when this news came out.
So it was 8:45 Pacific time when I got a notification from the New York Times about his passing. So it probably within 30 minutes of that is when it kind of began to really break. And so I was actually out and about in Los Angeles. I was at a brew pub thing. It was kind of a pre-work meeting day gathering of the whole team.
Sure, it was travel, the end of a travel day
for
you.
And so there were people from all over in that group. Right? There were folks from Pittsburgh and from Michigan and from Florida, and you had folks that lived in Southern California and, you know, obviously Lubbock, et cetera. And, you know, they all, like, that was all kind of like a big wow for them, you know? Especially the folks that grew up in Los Angeles. You know, one of the guys that I was eating dinner with was the former sports editor of the Orange County
Register.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he had, I mean, he'd been around Vin Scully a lot. Not that they were like BFF,
sure.
But I mean, certainly had been around and talked with him before. And, you know, it was kind of one of those bits of news that like kind of organically spreads around a group, around a restaurant, people checking their phones, people, you know, hey, did you hear this?
Right.
And, you know, the next morning I woke up incredibly stupidly early because of the time difference.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
Like, you know, 5:50 and I was wide awake, wired. And so I turned on a kind of a lark. I turned on the local news because mm-hmm. it's, you know, at that time it was not going to be the Today Show or whatever. And they led with that. You know, that
I
was.
Bet.
And so yeah. they had multiple live shots from the stadium. They had, you know, fan interviews. I mean, the Vin Scully Boulevard or whatever that street is that goes into Dodger mm-hmm. Stadium.
Yeah. Renamed for him when he retired.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a lot of flowers and, you know, signs and memorabilia and stuff. So yeah, it was pretty interesting to kind of see it more or less from ground zero.
So, yeah, that's really cool. And I actually thought about that. It was one of the things that I'd asked you, you know, really was anxious to hear about, like, you know, how it came to you, because, you know, that, I mean, he came, it's so hard to think about this, but he came with the Dodgers from Brooklyn, you know, which means he was out there in 58 or whatever, end of 58, early 59, if I'm getting my years right on that. And you know, and the, 60 years. And so not just, oh, I grew up listening to it. Yeah, so did your parents and maybe your grandparents, depending on how that works. And, you know, there's certainly nothing tragic about the full life that he lived and dying at 94, but just how much that he tied together. You know, I remember right after he retired, somebody posted something, and again, this is one of those little baseball facts, and it was something like the last time Major League Baseball didn't have Vin Scully or Connie Mack involved, it was like 1880. You know, it was stupid, because Connie Mack right at the, you know, was still with the Philadelphia A's at the very beginning of Vin's time. And
there's actually even a photo of them together, I think.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. But yeah, what a, and then all the moments, you know, there was a couple of, you know, there's been a ton of it, ESPN and just a lot of MLB, every MLB game and pregame show and everything's doing these cool pieces. And, but the stuff he called, I mean, it wasn't the baseball stuff. We all think about the Buckner deal, the Kirk Gibson home run, you know, the stuff into the 90s, because he was the lead guy on the national broadcast, you know, for quite a while. But he had the call on the Montana to Dwight Clark catch, you know, where the 49ers beat the Cowboys. Nobody wants to think about that here, but in the early 80s. And just, I mean, the you know, did golf. And I mean, what an arc, man. What a career. And I mentioned this the other day. I won't repeat everything we talked about on Wednesday, but when we gave him the Bush Award in Los Angeles and got to have lunch with him and at Bel Air Country Club, and he told a story about the first time he had been in that room, that he came in and waited sort of where we waited for him that day. And he said, and I was sitting there, and there was a guy over in the corner, you know, eating a bowl of soup and reading the paper, and we, you know, whoever I was meeting with came in and we sat down, and it turns out it was Clark Gable sitting over there, you know. And he's just telling me this, and then I look out the window and Jerry West was warming up on the putting green, and I'm like, I feel like I belong here. But that's just who he was, just so connected with all this stuff, you know. But he spanned the generations back to that in a way that was just an athlete. And the other thing was being around like Nomar Garcia Parr and some of those guys that came to the event, our event, that they were deferential to him. Like, I remember the first time he interviewed me and that kind of stuff. Like, it's Nomar Garcia Parr saying that stuff. Really cool.
This is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3.
We have We had Park Royal Crown Soda in here 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Got the root beer this week. What's the next category of soda?
I would say probably fruit.
That's what I was like, thinking, like a like, red drink, yeah, or
like a big red or something.
A grape or something. Or
Fanta.
Yeah. All right. I'll make that. That'll be my contribution here in a couple weeks.
Don't you want a Fanta? Wasn't that the tagline? Did I make that up?
Am I just doing free advertising for Fanta right now? Yeah.
What's the picture? What's the picture of Lynn Dawson in Super Bowl I at halftime? There's kind of a famous picture, and he's like in the locker room, dirty. Super Bowl I, smoking a cigarette. He's got a bottle of Fanta in the floor, kind of between his cleats. I got it. I may be wrong on the soda.
So I was in Los Angeles for the last few days. I got there on Tuesday. Was in meetings all day on... No, I got there Tuesday. Meetings all day Wednesday. Left yesterday early. And we had discussed this. We had been kind of talking about this for weeks ahead of time. I was going to pay especially close attention to what college apparel I saw while on the West Coast. And, you know, I was basically holed up in an office building all day Wednesday, so that hardly counts. But I was in the Phoenix airport for a while, LAX for a couple of hours. That was mainly yesterday. And then, you know, out and about a little bit.
Yeah.
I hardly saw anything, Gus. I saw... In the Uber ride to my hotel on Tuesday, I saw an SUV with a Colorado like emblem on it, like right. A bumper sticker or whatever. Ironically enough, one of the very few like bits of college gear that I saw was somebody rocking a Texas Tech hat in the Phoenix airport. But like on Wednesday night, we all went to the Santa Monica Pier and ate dinner, this, you know, place, whatever. And so we were outside. I had a great spot for people watching because mm-hmm. people were just going up and down. Just masses of people.
That's cool.
Didn't see anybody.
What was the food there? What was it, a little outdoor play? I'm trying to think.
It was
actually a place I've been.
Big
kind of waterfront deal, like you could see people and the water and the whole deal.
We went to Big Dean's Oceanfront Cafe.
Nice, okay.
It's what it's called, right there on the pier. It was good. The food was good. It wasn't like otherworldly, but it was fine. The atmosphere is great. They were very friendly. It was a good deal.
Your people watching, and you're probably in a little bit of a tourist zone.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
I would say a little bit, but I also got the vibe that these are just kind of local folks hanging out. This was just like because it was Wednesday night.
Yeah,
it wasn't kind of like peak. I mean, these were just people hanging out, taking their, you know, kids on a walk, you know, riding their bike, whatever. I didn't really spend much time on the actual pier itself, so this was more like the...
Yeah, kind of up there.
Board, I don't know.
On the...
Yeah, by the beach. I didn't see anybody. Like, I walked...
There was no barrage of UCLA and USC shirts.
I walked half a mile... On Tuesday, after I landed, I was a bit delayed. I had actually rescheduled my flight, so I didn't go to a movie like I was originally planned. But I walked half a mile to In-N-Out, you know?
As you said.
Right. And again, a lot of folks walking around L.A. because the weather's great. Weather is awesome there.
And it's not 97. Again, and traffic sucks.
Nobody. Nobody rocking college gear there. I mean, In-N-Out was packed to the gills, and there was no one there wearing college gear. No hats, no sweatshirts, not that they would, it's August, no t-shirts, no nothing. And by the way, In-N-Out sucks. Like, it's so overrated.
Really?
Yeah.
Had you not ever had it before?
No, all of my previous opinions on In-N-Out had come from a trip to Las Vegas in 2006.
Okay.
Where my two trips there were very good, at least in my memory. Went there on Tuesday. The burger was fine. It wasn't like amazing or special. It was fine. And the fries were almost inedible.
Really?
Animal style, the whole deal. It was gross. I didn't even, I took like three bites and was like, nope, not for me.
Really? Wow. We probably need to do a ranking of fast food hamburgers.
I am going to go full on.
Okay.
Full on Whataburger supremacist here.
Okay.
Like for the end of my days.
Good. Yep. Hard to go wrong there. We need to do our own little ranking. I've actually got a fast food hamburger ranked list that I found on the web that we can dispute, but that's an evergreen topic for, you know, we've got weeks to get that in.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chatline. Did you smoke up in California? I did not. No. I mean, I did smell a whole lot of it.
Did
you? Which was a little bit jarring.
Just where?
Airport.
Really?
The boardwalk deal.
In the airport or like out in front?
Outside. Okay. So I get my bags and I roll out there and I'm trying to find where this like rideshare shuttle picks up. Yeah. And so I'm walking down and, you know, get a big old whiff of that. And it's like, oh, California.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Not Texas anymore. They say that's, and I haven't been to Vegas since that's been legalized. They say that's, you'll kind of get hit with the weed smell in Vegas. Kind of like what you're describing, like, oh yeah. You know, I hadn't been out there in pre-pandemic.
This and the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Dudes, seriously, love the show a whole lot, but can we lose the Triple Rainbow guy? May he rest in peace. This on the chat line, Jumbo Joe's has the best fries. Yeah, the In-N-Out fries were, and maybe they were just having a bad day, but they were awful. They were,
like,
I mean,
what? Give me something like crunchy, so soggy. What do we got?
They were mealy, but you would have thought by looking at them, based on the size and kind of the visual perception of crispiness, if that makes sense, I thought they were going to be like a nice solid crunch. But no, it was almost like I was eating a Play-Doh version of
kind of
fries.
Undercooked, maybe a little.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. It's hard to explain. It was just not any good.
I went there with Tech Baseball. I'm trying to think of where we were, but it was sort of the drop and scatter kind of thing. You know,
there's a McDonald's over there.
100% is where this came from, and I'm not talking about when I played in Larry Hayes. There's a McDonald's right there. That was Larry Hayes in 1987, 88, maybe a little 89 there. But this was more recent. This was me traveling with, you know, Jamie and I, and we ended up there. Not to think. I'm trying to think of when we would have gone west.
I mean, I was number 72, and before I got my food.
You missed it by three, dude.
I know, right? I was number 72, order number 72, and they were on like 97 before I even got my food.
Oh. Yeah, maybe you just had a rough day there.
This is the challenge. I took weed from Vegas to Hawaii last year.
Well, that's...
I would need to have, like, I would almost need to see the president, whoever it might be at the time, like, smoke up on national TV before I ever go into an airport with that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You know what I mean?
Like
you can pass all the laws you want, you know, but unless he's like smoking a bowl and say to the union, I will not feel comfortable enough about like taking it on a plane.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. Tech Talk on Double T 97.3, Double T 97.3.com, and the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We would love to hear what you have to say on this Friday. Let us know what you think on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. You can also access that through the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. All guests appear via the Benchmark Hotline. Somebody asks this on the chat line. Gus, what are your thoughts on Brandon Birdsall?
Well, I love the dude. You know, signed and on his way in the Cubs organization. power pitcher. You know, I don't know enough about the real quality of the changeup to know if he would be positioned as a big league starter, a starting pitcher in pro ball or whatever. But I would think he sort of fits the mold of the high octane relievers that we see nowadays. You know, health will be a big deal for him. He's obviously healthy this year, but, you know, great kid, easy guy to root for. If I'm correct, this probably goes beyond the scope of the text, but engaged to a Lubbock girl, Tech girl, who hails from Lubbock. And, you know, so the kind of kid that's easy to root for, that's for sure. But I think how they'll set him up, if they set him up to be a reliever, if they maybe try to keep him in a starting deal and let him stretch out a little bit, don't really know. Because a lot of times what drives that, I think, is the third pitch, the quality of that third pitch being the changeup. But, yeah, we saw this year the 96s and 97s and 98s aren't really uncommon with him. And the breaking ball was good. And so he's got a shot, I would think.
This is the Yates Flooring Center chat line from our friend El Jefe. Weed smell definitely hits you in Vegas. Also hit up Planet 13 when you go. Huge dispensary just outside the strip. Somebody says this in the chat line. Same opinion as AD on In-N-Out. I'm out. Banjo Bob says it's super easy on domestic flights if you check your bag. This on the chat line. I had In-N-Out fries in Austin and they were awful. Yeah, the burger was fine. Like I wouldn't put it above Whataburger, but it was fine. It was a burger. The fries were just awful. Somebody says, In-N-Out Burger looks like the burgers they served in the Navy, and they were nothing special. Somebody else, In-N-Out, similar to Five Guys, very overrated and way overpriced. It was hard for me to really tell on the overpriced deal because everything in L.A.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Is expensive. Gas was like $6 a gallon.
Ooh. yet another reason not to rent a car.
Yeah, this in the chat line from Steven. I knew somebody that bought large empty capsules, filled them with Mary Jane, then mixed them in a vitamin bottle to fly them across the country. Not me. I wouldn't be Brittany Griner'd too soon, laughing emoji. Yeah, that's a bad deal there.
Yeah.
This in the chat line. Are you all surprised how much realignment talk has slowed down? I remember that we were waiting for August 3rd to come around and as for when we would start to see some things rolling. So I'm not that surprised, and I think that we talked about this a week ago or so. To me, the first kind of big domino that has to fall, if we want to kind of use that analogy for like the millionth time this summer, is the Big Ten deal needs to be announced,
yep.
Right? You need to have a pretty good handle on what those numbers are before anything else happens. The Pac-12 also needs to get kind of a firm grasp on what their situation is worth, you know, whether they add teams or if they stand pat at 10. And until both or at least one of those things happen, I don't think there's really any reason, any kind of motivation to kind of make a move. You're in no hurry. We're talking about something that will happen years from now, probably 2 years at most, or at the earliest. So if this thing drags into September a bit, you don't really lose anything.
And that was the context of our conversation the other day, was what were the anniversary dates? And we went back and talked about, the fact that September was when the A&M move was announced. And I think Missouri, I brought in here, earlier this week that Arkansas made their announcement in August.
I remember that, yeah.
Of 90, and then I think it was on Monday, and then the South Carolina announcement was also made in September. And so, really the context of me asking that question, or you and I digging around on that, was just is there a season for this? Will it die down before football starts or whatever? And the answer to that's not necessarily. The August 3rd, I think the August 3rd thing had to do with the Pac-12's exclusive negotiation.
Window.
Yeah. And I don't think anyone expected an announcement at the end of that. That was just the end of that time. Now we're all waiting on the Big Ten.
Yeah, because, I mean, if that Big Ten number comes back, and I saw a report, and I don't know how, like, this wasn't from Pete Thamel, right, or Dennis Dodds. This was from someone else. So, you know, take it with the obligatory grains of salt. But they were projecting. This also wasn't just like, you know, Tim on Twitter either. This was an outlet that the per school distributions would be like in the $110 million range in year one. And if that's the number, right, suddenly, I mean, Notre Dame asking itself, how much is independence worth? Because I think that they mm-hmm. value independence a whole lot. But do you value it?
It's never cost them money.
Yeah, do you value it at a nine-figure level?
Right, because they've always kept bowl money and those type things to really make it an easy decision for them. But what you're talking about is a game changer. You know, because back then it was like, ooh, you go to the Cotton Bowl, you get a, you know, right. however many, you know, whatever it was. And now that number is may be bigger than what they're getting alone from NBC.
Oh, and, that would certainly be. And so the only question is, can they get close to it or close-ish? And I don't know what the answer is to that question. But if they are swayed by some kind of massive number, and that would only get bigger, obviously, if they joined the Big Ten, right? It would only grow from there. Then at that point, if the Big Ten adds Notre Dame, they're looking for an 18th. I get it. I kind of said this, I think, 3 weeks ago or so. We're in one of those stories where when you look back at this 5-10 years from now, you'll be astonished at how quickly it all kind of happened.
Yeah.
How quickly it all went from like status quo to everything's upended. But as you kind of live through it, it kind of drags on. It's kind of like a coaching search.
Yeah.
You know, true. Like in the grand scheme of things, the couple of weeks that it took to hire Joe McGuire, not that long.
Melts away. Yeah. You know? You don't even think about it.
But it just drags when you're living through it.
There was some commentary 2 days ago about NBC, you know, supposedly being involved in the Big Ten meteorites heavily, and their idea is that they would be able to stack the Big Ten's idea is they would be able to stack games on Fox, CBS, NBC with a Notre Dame game mixed in there as well, and really stake their claim to all three of the premium time slots on a Saturday as well as their Sunday night NFL coverage. And I remember Dan Patrick monstrous. Talked about that 2 days ago, and Dan Patrick said, if the Big Ten does that and the NBC thing lines up, you can expect the SEC to make a big move.
More Tech Talk next.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Somebody says that oysters are aphrodisiac because of the way they are or can be enjoyed. Very sexy or seductive. And I got to tell you, I never expected to say, you know, very sexy or seductive on the show. But here we are, like 6 years later, and, you know, there you go.
Waiter, I'd like to send these oysters back. They're not seductive enough.
Yeah. Somebody says that Brittany Murphy was 16 or 17 when she starred in Clueless. The other lady, not Alicia Silverstone or Murphy, but the other gal was like 25, I think, when she was in Clueless. This on the chat line. AD, the reason that you didn't see the people of LA rocking the university swag is because you were traveling and looking on the freeway bridges, not under them. I got to tell you, man, you can have LA. Like, I'll deal with the drought, you know, and the occasional haboob, and the lack of mountains, right? And the scorching heat during the summer. Fine. I'll gladly have that. You can have the weather in LA, which is great.
Yep.
So many people, so much traffic, super expensive, paper straws. No, pass. Hard pass.
Yeah, and it seems like everybody, you know, you can't paint the whole of all of Southern California, because it seems like San Diego's got a little less of the crowded vibe thing going that LA has. You know, most people go, oh, San Diego's different.
And I mean, I was in San Diego February of 2020, and it was fine. It was nice. I mean, it was a big city. Certainly much bigger than Lubbock.
Yeah.
But I didn't get like this. I mean, hell, it was a Wednesday night, and we were at this street, a couple of streets off of the beach, and it was just packed. Wednesday night, like jam packed.
I remember feeling that way about DFW. We lived up in Plano for a year. It'd be like a Tuesday. You know, like Dane and I, Brooks was a baby. And we're like, let's go to Chili's. Wait, there's a 45-minute wait on a Tuesday? You know, like I'm too much of a Lubbock guy for that, you know. That crowd for real.
On the chat line from Shelly, I had two double Jamesons in an L.A. hotel lounge in May. $58, no joke. For Jameson, wow.
Two double Jamesons, that's a $29.
Yeah.
Ooh.
This on the chat line from Tyler. I really like In-N-Out. In Houston, they're cheaper than any other burger joint, and their meal is good. Maybe your place was just too busy. PJ says this on the chat line. The Pac-12 needs a firm grasp on reality. It's funny. It does seem like things have crystallized to the point where, like, Arizona definitely seems like their game. Like, hey, they're interested in hopping. They just need a partner. Definitely seems like ASU, they'll be the last one off the boat. Right? They'll be rearranging those deck chairs until the bow and the stern slip under the water on the Titanic there. I don't know about Colorado. Utah seems a little bit skeptical, dubious, but I think it was up to Arizona, they'd be in the Big 12 right now.
Which is fascinating. And do you buy into the idea that they're ready to jump at the hoops?
I think that's a big part of it.
The conference hoop, the Big 12 conference hoops.
And Wilner, John Wilner, who writes sports columns for papers in the Bay Area, and is certainly a more kind of Pac-12 centric person, you know, he kind of noted, I think in a tweet today, that in a lot of ways, Arizona is kind of more of a Big 12 type institution than Pac-12 in terms of it's not in a major metro area. You know, it has a really strong basketball program. They're very passionate about that. And academically, it's not just like tearing up the charts.
You know, that's interesting. And it's interesting to hear him say that. Because he's been protecting he's been circling the wagons pretty good around the Pac-12. But I've wondered about that. I mean, I think the first day this UCLA-USC thing happened, I remember asking this question that, you know, like I've always wondered if the Arizona schools and what we may be learning here is that Arizona and not Arizona State, how aligned they are with the California schools. You know, and just the whole Pac-12 office in San Francisco, and you know, do they want to play during COVID? Do they not? You know, all of that kind of those cultural differences. If they may go, hey, we're more aligned to the East than the West, and what we've sort of found out is that Tucson and the University of Arizona may be a little more aligned with us, whereas the Phoenix ASU thing may still be a little more tied to the West Coast.
And I think it may have just more to do with who happens to be in charge of. You know, yeah. This university at this point in time, because, you know, I think ASU probably from a people standpoint, probably more in line with folks in the Big 12 in terms of playing during COVID, finding a way, all that stuff. But I think that their university president is so enamored with the idea of rubbing elbows with the Stanfords and the Cals, that's going to win the day. And that's the interesting kind of irony here is that for all of the talk about, hey, we're elite academic institutions, you know, for the most part in the Pac-12, and we want to keep it that way, and we kind of look down on the Big 12 in that regard because they're just a bunch of, you know, clown colleges. And then they're going to go and invite San Diego State? Like, that's a clown college. You know, like, and I don't care about academics, but that I'm just using their kind of their thought process here. I don't give a damn about, you know, U.S. News and World Report. I wipe my rear end with those rankings. Who cares? I'm here for the sports. But, like, yeah, that's their thought process. It's about, oh, snooty academics, and let's go invite San Diego State. This in the chat line from PJ. AD, I took you for more of a 3 or 4 twist Q-tip guy. No, I feel like that's excessive. If it, you know, if it hasn't come off in 1 or 2 twists, then it's not worth. You know, I mean, a little bit of wax is good.
Yeah, I think that
it's now a part of your body.
Normal
well,
functioning.
Yeah, I feel like you don't want to be just bone dry in there. This in the chat line. California north of the Golden Gate Bridge is really nice. The rest is the dump. This in the chat line. 3 Tito's and soda. And an order of chips and salsa in Birmingham Marriott last Friday, $93. This on the chat line. Double vodka, Red Bull Tall with a premium vodka going to run $24 here in Lubbock. The double Jameson's pretty typical to run $25 to $58. I'm sorry, $25 to $28. Hit us with more drink price talk. I'm here for it.
It's $4.20. Anybody got any more stuff they want to text in there too, right?
This in the chat line. I went to the world's biggest White Castle in Orlando in May. I was disappointed. I've had better White Castle from the frozen aisle at United. I've never had White Castle before.
Really? Yeah, that's a Midwest thing.
Yeah, I've not really.
Thing. Yeah, that was a thing. It's the little doodads. And the southern version of that is what? Is it Crystal?
Yeah, Crystal.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Shout out to Wichita, Kansas. I think that's where they started.
White Castle?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I remember White Castle as a kid from being like going up to St. Louis and just, you know, White Castles all over the place in St. Louis. And then the Crystals when we lived in Tuscaloosa. You know, and you buy it, like you're, you know, a number one there is like 6 of those things and some fries or something.
Where can I go to find a Zaxby's? Because I see about a billion commercials of those and they always
Southeast.
Look great.
Southeast is the answer. Okay. My in-laws are there. My mother-in-law's there and Danish Brothers and Zaxby's is like a regular deal there. Yeah, and I think maybe to DFW now. Maybe. Very SEC. It's a very SEC thing, yep.
More tech talk coming up next on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
Podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30. Would love to hear what you think, your thoughts, your comments, your weekend plans on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. or through the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. I'm not doing anything this weekend. I'll be recovering from my 2 days wearing pants in Los Angeles with closed-toed shoes. I need a lengthy decompress from that experience.
Are your legs okay?
Legs are fine. Feet a little bit, sore. But, I'm doing better. I'm doing better. Thank you for asking. I appreciate your concern.
Yeah, I'm worried about it. I know. I had no idea.
I mean, I told Gus during the break, I wore pants more this week than I think I have this whole year combined.
Been very brave this week.
I know. Man. I had a brave face.
We were talking about relocation stuff and West Coast Riders. And Stuart Mandel yesterday had a mailbag, and there was a question asked. I am a lifelong Southerner, but pulling for the Pac-12 to survive and prosper after San Diego State are either Nevada or UNLV acceptable candidates. And it's a 5-6 paragraph answer on a sheet of paper printed out. It's a page. You know, and based on the conversations I've had and, you know, some of these things, and reading some tea leaves, the only remaining group of 5 schools on the Pac-12's radar are San Diego State and SMU. The former is fairly obvious due to its location. SMU's appeal is to partly get into the Dallas recruiting and TV market, part that it's highly ranked in academics, number 68 nationally in the U.S. News. Hang on, it gets better. I would not discount two other possibilities for the Pac-12. One is the league stays at 10 programs, which, yeah, it would be same strategy, Big 12 follow, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes on to say, but if circumstances have changed and if Commissioner Klyavkov and his presidents deem it important to get into Texas, it would make sense to pursue TCU and Baylor and perhaps even Houston before turning to SMU and San Diego State.
That's adorable, really.
It's very Stuart Mandel, very West Coast.
I think it would be – I'm hoping this happens, actually. Well, let me rephrase. My primary hope is that, you know, by hook or by crook, those four corner programs end up in the Big 12, right? I am rooting for the destruction of the Pac-12. I am rooting for Oregon State and Wazoo Tears. Sorry, Garrett left. I am rooting for chaos on the West Coast, right? I'm rooting for a run on, recycled paper straws, all that stuff. Burn it down. Just burn it down. That's my primary hope here. Absent that, I really hope they invite SMU. I think that is hysterical. I think that delivers you the Dallas market as much as DiGiorno delivers you a pizza.
As much as Rice delivers Houston. Why not go get Rice? Why not go get Rice if you want into Houston?
If you think that SMU gives you the Dallas market, then yes. By that logic, you should do Rice.
Right.
Academically, very, very good. Right?
Probably better than...
Bigger market.
And better academics than SMU.
True. Right, also private. But the problem is that neither deliver you any market, and Rice even less so than SMU. But I hope that happens. It doesn't deliver them the Dallas market. It doesn't open up the Texas recruiting area at all. Hey, like every 4 years, you'll play in Dallas. Sign me up. Oh, man. I can imagine a whole bunch of kids from Houston and Dallas and San Antonio and West Texas, signing up to play 4 years at Wazoo for a chance every 4 years to play at SMU. Give me a break. That's hysterical.
Well, I'm fascinated by him going straight to the TCU Baylor thing. I mean, you know, the TCU Baylor thing, perhaps Houston before turning to SMU San Diego State. Later on, he talks about the guaranteed money could be tempting to a school like TCU that will still have no idea the new Big 12's value. And he's talking about the year that, you know, Pac-12's rights expire a year before Big 12's. And I'm just, I mean, that he's just hammering away at these private schools is, it really makes me feel like I thought I knew how this worked in terms of number of living alumni being a big deal, you know, and I don't know what, I mean, is he just leaning on, because Baylor doesn't even put you in a DFW market. Is he just leaning on recent football success or, I don't know. And the Hoops national championship.
It's like he's swinging at a pinata. He's got blindfolds on and he's just whacking away. Baylor is a fine, I'm not like dumping on Baylor. They're awesome right now in athletics, sure. Right? They're winning everything. They've won at women's basketball. They've won in baseball. They've won in
tennis,
football.
Yeah.
They won in men's basketball. They got a national championship. They just won the Big 12 in football.
Yep.
They're rolling. From an athletic standpoint, there's every reason for the Pac-12 to want them in their conference. The problem is Baylor's not going to go to the Pac-12. Are you kidding me? Now, maybe they would have last year.
Right, sure. As part of the four teams that were trying to get there.
There are a host of programs in the Big 12, Texas Tech included, that would have eagerly and gladly said yes to a Pac-12 invite this time last year. Mm-hmm. But it's no longer 2021. And I don't think, hey, we can guarantee you, $30 million. That's... You're kidding yourself if you think the Big 12 won't get more than that.
Is there a number that you that you would be ecstatic with or content with or disappointed by? I mean, do you have a number like in your head, like for the Pac, Big 12?
I don't care.
The Tech number? I understand that.
Well,
because right now we're at 40.
Number, right?
We're in the low 40s right now?
I think it's closer to like mid 40s, yeah. Maybe 50.
Okay.
When it's all like combined together.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not just like the tier one media deal. I want whatever number positions them to be clearly the third most
right.
financially
Absolutely.
Successful conference in major college athletics. Whether that's, if it's 51, awesome. If it's 62, great. Heck, if it was 19, that's fine. The gap is going to be so wide between, you know, the Big 12, the Pac-12, if it survives, the ACC, and then the Big 10 especially, and the SEC, that, you know, whether it's 57 or 72, I don't know that it really makes that much of a difference. But either way, that number is not going to be nearly as catastrophic as I think people might have expected or feared a year ago this time. But to back to Stuart Mandel, it is laughable to me that anybody would suggest that TCU and Baylor and even Houston, which hasn't even officially joined the Big 12 yet, that'll happen July 1st next year, would give up on playing these regional and in-state programs, some of which they have decades and decades of history with, to go play a bunch of games on the West Coast, right? It's laughable to me because at least with the four-corner programs, geographically it makes a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. Historically, it makes a lot more sense. And philosophically, it maybe makes a lot more sense. Those traits don't really apply and don't exist when you're talking about some of these in-state Texas programs moving west. It just doesn't exist.
When Dan Patrick responded to that NBC thing that I read earlier, the idea that NBC could be heavily involved in the Big Ten to really start stacking up, you know, triple headers with mm-hmm. the Notre Dame Big Ten game, Notre Dame game, Saturday night, that sort of thing. And he talked about the SEC reacting, and he said the SEC's reaction would be to get after that ACC thing, which I don't, you know, he's no dummy, but that, you know, that maybe the ACC thing is more in play, and some of these schools are more in play than we realize. But, you know, he just said that the SEC would have a reaction to the Big Ten claiming as much of a stake as they.
But I get why they would want to do
sure.
that.
I mean,
ESPN, why are they going to give away
I agree.
This great deal that they have with the ACC?
You've been listening to the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3. Check out Double T 97.3.com for more from Lubbock Sports Station.